Hey guys, it's Sunday. You know what that means? It means we should be making corn muffins, but we're not. Instead, we're going to use our powers combined to kick the tires on this episode and break down episode 4, which is a really good episode entitled Exit Strategy. I'm excited. You guys excited? Yeah. Let's do it!
Yes. You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I wanna be the very best.
Gotta be the best.
Bum, 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 bum. Kobe Bell has his real test to catch the mutants is his cause.
Alright! Welcome to the after show here for The Gifted, Season 1, Episode 4, entitled Exit Strategy. We leave off on the cliffhanger of Jace, Sentinel Services agent. I want them all! I want them all!
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all!
Yes!
He's like, I want, what's the statement? The in-house, out-house, dirt-house, crap-house,
safe-houses, crack-houses.
Check everywhere.
Take any word, put it before a house, and I want them.
Put it before a house, and I want them. Search everything.
Use your ultra balls, use your master balls.
He was mad.
Oh my God, that's actually exactly what he sounded like.
He looked like he was about to fire everybody.
Yeah, not happy.
Because there were like 30 dudes there. And they just left. They just was like, hey, we won.
Hey, guys, the mutant that shuts down all mutant powers had one inept guard around him. So everything went to hell. Where were the other people around him?
There's always that guard, man.
Entire plan was based on having that guard around.
Donald, been on the force for 15 years.
Don't bring this back. Let's not bring this inside joke back. Anyway, because Steph's not aware of that. Anyway, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHNLEMIUX. Thanks for joining us. As always, I am joined by my two awesome co-hosts, because Rick's too good to be here tonight, because he just didn't like us, but...
We still love Rick.
I'm drowning my sorrows in coffee while Steph Sabrat tells us where we can find her.
What's up, everyone? I'm Steph Sabrat, and you can follow me on IG and Twitter at Steph Sabrat.
And you can find me online at One Youngster, which is OneYoungST.
Hey. I feel like you're saying, like, peace, but, like, no peace.
That's what's about to happen.
Peace it down,
yeah,
yo.
There's definitely no peace
no
on this
peace
episode.
In the
well,
streets.
There's peace at the end, I guess you could say, but there's no basic peace.
Speaking
in this episode.
Of peace, we're going to piece this thing together.
Ooh. Oh. This is one of my favorite episodes. This might be my favorite episode this season, so I'm ready to get into this.
I mean, let's not speak too soon. You got a lot more to go, but this one was definitely legit. Every episode has been pretty damn legit.
Yeah.
Like, this show is not disappointed.
No. I watch it every time. I'm like, this is a really good show.
It's like, you know what? This is solid. Like, every time I watch it, I'm like, cool.
It's been a long time since I've covered a show that I'm genuinely, like, excited to talk about.
Yeah.
We don't have to, like, try to get it to make it good. We can just be like, oh, it's good already.
Hey, story's moving forward.
Yep.
Cool scenes.
Things are happening.
Good actors.
Characters not being dumb.
Yeah.
Out of the box predictions we have actually coming true because they make sense.
Oh, also the kids don't get on your nerves.
Oh, the kids don't get on my nerves.
Yeah.
You know, except for one thing. There's one problem I had with the daughter this episode.
Okay.
Is that, God damn, I was depending on those corn muffins at the fundraiser.
Oh, man.
I showed up. I was looking forward to those homemade corn muffins.
Where's the corn muffins?
They had
said that.
Pumpkin bread. I like pumpkin bread, but the corn muffins,
but corn
guys,
muffins.
I agree.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the fundraiser didn't explode because people were picking on her brother. So you got to take the good with the bad. This episode was directed by Karen Gaviola, which if you guys haven't looked her up, because I looked it up because I was like, this episode was very well directed. I want her to do it. She does so much.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. She's
really?
Directed
oh,
Lucifer. Okay. She's directed
Blind
Spot, NCIS.
Okay, so she has it on lock. So she's okay.
She gets like an episode here or there of like any TV show you can think of on these like.
Cool. So she came in. She was like, I've got
she
this.
Killed it.
Yeah. So when there's action involved and like a heist, she was a great choice for this episode. I really like it. We get introduced to new mutants.
Yes.
Pulse
Baby.
Hashtag New Mutants. The new movie that's going to come out. It's like a horror film. Check the trailer out. So we have the James Jones as Traitor. Traitor is the camo guy. I didn't really understand how his powers work because he said that it works on humans but not cameras.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if that means it's a mental thing that he's interacting with their minds to be. True.
Or maybe he's able to manipulate, like, I guess their blind spot or something like that. But maybe that's what I was confused about. Like, weird.
Yeah, or maybe just cameras, infrared or whatever. Maybe that's what he was.
Or maybe it's the frame rate. Like, the way we see, the way he bends light doesn't interact
with the frame rate.
Okay, cool.
He's just got dynamic contrast. He's an HDTV. He turned up his settings really high. But he's cool. It was cool to get introduced to that character.
But now he's gone.
Well,
no, he's shot.
He's in critical condition.
Okay, I was worried he was.
I was kind of mad for a second because I was like, hold up. So y'all just gonna bring him in and just shoot him? Right. Yes. We just met him.
That was kind of like messed up. He's like just like walking and then like fizzles out and just gets shot right away. You're like,
I was like,
after Eclipse was just saying how he would be the one to like stay around if things went bad, and he just sacrificed himself because he thought it was cool, and then I was like, no.
Was I the only one who had a throwback to what was that great movie with the shovel guy and
the shovel guy?
Oh, Mystery Men.
Oh,
Mystery Men, where everyone has to turn around and he can turn invisible, but if anyone's watching him, he's not.
I never saw that.
It's a gem of a film, but it's dumb too.
It's pretty
what
crazy.
What kind of power is that?
It's none of them have
a
powers.
Convenience power.
But none of them have powers, but it's good.
Well, he can actually turn invisible, you know. And then we get Zach Roehrig as Pulse, mm-hmm. who can disrupt systems. Yeah. I thought that was really cool because it was very subtle, just the eyes. That's all you need. You don't need him to be
generating fields or something around him or anything.
The one thing that was weird to me was the coloring on him. Because, like, when you first see them looking at him through the warehouse towards the end when they find out that he's at the heist, his skin looked, like, zombified. It looked, like, gray and stuff. Yeah. And then when he punches him outside, he looked totally normal except for having a tattoo. So that kind of weirded me out. I thought they, like, did more to him than...
Okay.
Well, it would make sense.
But they probably did something to him because even when he tried to knock him out, it seemed like his powers turned on automatically.
Yeah,
without
he's just
him
like
even
a,
trying.
He's turned into like a weapon of destruction.
Yeah.
Which so he it, had to have. There has to be some sort of.
Yeah, and
I'm
I guess
sure
they probably
we'll
like
that.
Weaponized him or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we've already been introduced to Sage in the last episode, but I do want to introduce again Haley Lovett as Sage because she actually cues in a little bit of what her powers are because she's got mental psychic powers or whatever, but she basically is creating probabilities and things like that in her mind for this particular
mission.
She's
able to kind of like figure out the odds quite quickly.
Yeah. And they have an 84% chance of getting effed in the A on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's cool getting new characters. We're going to break down, we're going to go over the Clarice and John and Dreamer storyline. John, right? Warhawk is John.
Yeah. Not Warhawk.
Not Warhawk. Thunderbird.
Warhawk is his, or Warpath. Warpath is his brother.
Warpath. Got it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking because the bird on his thing, but yeah, Thunderbird. then we'll talk about Reed and Polaris because, you know, every single character is built around, up to this point has actually had a continuous movement forward in their arc, which is really refreshing, especially with Reed and Polaris, because Reed is, of course, the first person that she sees once she's arrested, and it was really cool to put them in a room for the first time since the first episode.
And they're the connector of all the characters, those two.
Yeah, because he's the...
Family.
He's the other side, and she's the leader of that side, so it's kind of cool. And then we're going to talk about Marcos and Carmen. Carmen's the new character that is introduced, played by Michelle Ventimiglia. I'm probably butchering it, but we find
which
out
is a, really good.
Yeah,
because we get to see how the rest of the world is reacting to mutants, not just the government mutant thing, but how
the underground,
the criminal underworld deals with it. And I was just like, "Wow, world building! Wow." I'm on a show that's doing world building now.
But they've been doing that, I feel like, since the beginning.
Yeah.
Everything
just,
about it, it makes it
just
so much
nice
more complex.
To
Well,
see
that,
these touches.
But we also see that we're getting a little bit more of a history of the character of Marcos, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Flashlight, who...
Love Triangle number 2 now.
A little bit, but... Yeah. he's flashlight more than ever in this episode, honestly. But it's just cool because the last time he talks about his past is in the car with Kate. And he's talking about, he got kicked out as a kid at 13, yeah. and his parents mm-hmm. kicked him yeah. out and everything. And then he basically said he was on the streets and everything, but you don't know, how he survived. And now we're kind of figuring out that he got kind of dragged into this whole cartel gang world mm-hmm. to survive. Which is yeah. kind of cool, because, you thought he was just maybe a latchkey kid, yeah. stealing on the streets, and this kind of makes it a lot more in-depth and
yeah.
cooler and kind of scarier.
Yeah, I was reading
And it fills him out a lot. It yeah. fills him out. It makes him more of a real person.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
I was reading some articles and some people didn't like the scene. They're like, I just feel like it was an easy way out to make the one Colombian guy, right, if I'm right, into the cartel.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking yeah. if he was taking, and I kind of see that point, okay. but if he was kicked out of his family, that is literally what happens. When yeah, people get kicked out of their families and they're in poorer socioeconomic classes, they are drawn to things yes. like cartels and gangs. So that yeah. does make
because
sense.
Because gangs, coming from a certain area where when
there's not gangs, a lot of options.
Gangs look for younger kids yeah. because they're easy to get them into, take this over here, take this over there. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're stealing cars and then mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But yes, gangs usually look for young kids. He was a young kid and he had outlaws. Powers. Yeah. So on top of being a young kid who's impressible and he has powers,
they were using him. I'd be interested to see how he got involved in the gangs, though, in the cartel.
Yeah.
Though, because, you say it's so simple, they find young kids. But no, it's mostly young teenagers, whatever, end up in juvie or end up in something, and then for protection in those areas, they go to the gangs in exchange
yeah.
for a favor,
yeah,
and then when they get out,
more complicated.
It's kind of like a funnel that kind of keeps them in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be interested to see what he had to do for them or how they figured out that he had these powers or whatnot, because it seems that it's a dark history. It doesn't seem like he's proud of anything that had to do with it.
No.
And he's probably done some really messed up stuff. So I think that with this storyline, we're going to see a lot of his past catching up with him. And I'd like to see a struggle between him and Polaris. Because right now they're so lovey-dovey. And if you're going to have this love triangle with him and Carmen kind of just teasing him and messing with him, you're going to have to see some kind of adversity between Polaris and
well,
him.
You know Polaris yeah. is not going to let Carmen fly like that.
Well, I think...
we saw her with the police.
And do you guys think Carmen has powers?
No. think she's just...
But I would like to see, and because I love three-way battles, I love, I love situations where there's more than just, good guys and bad guys. So in this case, this is going to set up a situation where, Polaris, when she finds out the truth, because of course... This is network TV. What's going to happen is he's going to lie to keep it from her. Then she's going to be angry with him, thinking that he's maybe sneaking around or maybe he's giving information to somebody or cheating or whatever. She finds out. She confronts, she's going to confront her. And then hopefully we'll have a situation where maybe there's a beef with the mutants and the government and the cartel and see how that plays out. Will the cartel and the government work together every now and then because of her spite towards Eclipse and blah, but sorry, I'm going too far. Anyway, but yeah, I love three-way,
Yeah, and I think that we see that with other characters in the show too right now.
It's you're right in that, I don't know if I'd see the government and the cartel working together, but you're right in the fact that, it's more interesting to have a love circle when the parties are different entities mm-hmm. as opposed to just people.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You go into... You look at what's going on right now with Dreamer and John and Clarice, yeah. and they're all part of the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Dreamer seems a little bit more laissez-faire about it, and I still think she's going dark if we get to that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think she'll be one of the people that are...
She's an extremist.
Yeah. I think she's... When it gets down to it, she'll definitely be like, I'm
all
up
in.
For killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that makes that interesting because then right now we have the Brotherhood and the cartel love triangle. But if we go into that, we'd have the dark mutants, the good mutants.
Yeah.
Love triangle.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be pretty cool. What I'm also looking forward is when the show builds towards more teenage mutants.
Okay.
And not Ninja Turtles.
not Leonardo.
I wish.
Not Donatello.
I think
Raphael or Michelangelo.
One of the biggest issues right now, and we're only four episodes in, so it's not really even an issue, is that Andy and why do I keep forgetting? Is it Lauren?
Lauren.
Andy and Lauren are so contained in themselves. We're focused so much on their brother-sister relationship because they can't connect because everyone else is old around them. Everyone else is writing them off. I think Andy, it'd be really interesting if Andy got drafted into the Dark Mutant Underground from another teenager who's more kind of Devil May Cry attitude.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see like a young Gambit or a Gambit type character that pulls Andy in, because it's like, I think what we're missing right now are the pride in your powers aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I do agree with you. I've been thinking about what's going to happen with Andy a lot because I think he's a complicated character. But I don't think that they would have tied in the doctor calling and the article pointing towards signs that siblings are way more powerful together. And then we see them actually using their powers together to make something more powerful than all the other mutants could have done right
now. That's a really good point, too, that you just made. So I want to ask you guys a question based on what you just said, Steph. Do you think other mutants can combine their powers as efficiently? Because we've seen what happens when Polaris and Flashlight are together. Sorry, people in the chat hate me using Flashlight. But we don't know if they actually can use their powers, like, from a strong standpoint the same way.
I don't think that they can use... I think siblings are more powerful, but I think if you do have a really strong connection and your powers are kind of opposite, that they can combine. Like, Polaris and Eclipse aren't opposite, but they're different kind of like elements that do combine in the real world.
So here's my pitch.
Yeah.
Right now we have John and Clarice with this weird kind of chemistry going on, because we can go ahead and talk about, we were going to talk about them originally anyway, but basically, John wants Dreamer to tell Clarice what she did to her. Mm-hmm. Clarice is having dreams of these memories, and they're extending the memories. Instead of it just being that one clip, she's seeing before and after of that one part. Yeah. So instead of it fading away, it's actually expanding like a virus kind of inside her brain.
I didn't think about that like that.
But it's weird because she knows that it didn't happen, but she also remembers it as if it did. So it's kind of freaking her out.
Yeah.
But
it would really help if they just came to her and told her the truth.
Yeah, and I think John doesn't want to be the one to do it because I think it's like outing somebody else's powers in a way, and like outing, it's like a very private thing. Plus, he'd be admitting that him and Dreamer have a thing, which would also cause jealousy between her, because now she has weird feelings. Based on memories that are fake. But Clarice's whole thing is that she can't teleport without seeing something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's John's power? It's tracking, and he can
he can kind of see,
visualize kind of stuff. So like if they could combine their powers,
Steven, you're right there.
We're pushing these two characters together in terms of if they combine their powers, but then we're also pushing them together in terms of like a false weird relationship thing going on. So I think it's interesting the potential that they have in that sense.
That is cool. I didn't think of that. Nice. That pumps me up. Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
I've been seeing in the chat that people are a fan of Clarice and John, right? That was who they like together.
Can people put in the chat right now, what are the ship names? Because I'm so out of the know on these ship names.
There was some nicknames that I didn't see, but I'm pretty sure it was Clarice and John, who I do like together.
Yeah, that could work.
To preface anyone who's listening to this and does not watch freeform shows. Shipping is when people put two names of a character together in terms of like, oh, they like this relationship.
Like Bennifer.
Bennifer. Like in this case, you have John and Clarice. So like Jalarice
or something.
I like coming up with the worst form of the ship name ever. And that's my favorite thing to do.
So difficult.
Yeah. So like you could take Dreamer and I don't want to go that. That's messed up. Dreamer and Polaris, and it's like Dreamlaris.
Dreamlaris.
Yeah, so I don't know. So we have that going on. I'm not sure how that's going to play out because they are being partnered together, and especially in the heist, we have Clarice and John working together closely, and she's like really confused. Dreamer says that Clarice will run away potentially if he tells her.
I think she's fragile.
I think she can handle it, though. I think she can handle that. I don't think she'll ever trust Dreamer again.
Yeah.
But I think she can handle it.
Dreamer's just blowing smoke.
She clearly has trust issues.
going to hit that pun jar.
Yeah, let me just toss a coin in the pun jar.
I love the puns. Yes. I think Clarice has trust issues, so I think it would be a huge shock, and she is fragile without those memories. It's made her a little stronger, but without that, we forget she didn't want to do anything. So ripping those from her mind might be catastrophic.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of... You would want to understand why you're having these dreams. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the same as if you have memory... I don't know. There's not really something I can compare it to.
Yeah.
It's just she's trying to quantify what she's experiencing. And without somebody telling her, you're under the effect of somebody's mutant powers and this is why you're doing it and we had to do it because otherwise everyone would have died.
Yeah.
It's like, I think she'd understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think she'd be too close to Dreamer anymore, but I think she'd understand.
Yeah.
I think she could handle it. I mean, she's an adult. She can take this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can handle it. So, John, stop being weak. Just tell her the truth.
Yeah,
right?
Regardless, they should tell her. And I think that's a cool part about the show is there's a whole bunch of cost-benefit type of decisions with every single character. And that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of playing their cards, what they think is worth it to have a certain outcome. We see it with Eclipse and how he visits Carmen and all that. And Thunderbird, like... beating up his friend. So all of this. So I think that the telling her would be worth it because, I mean, I probably would have put her under the spell too at that time. Dreamer was saying, I needed to keep you guys alive. I had to do that, which I agree. So, but now tell her.
Yeah. They should have told her probably the next day. That would have been the best thing. Let everything cool down and then be like, hey, look, we had to talk to you. You know, usually we don't do this and what we did was wrong. We took away your choice to do whatever, but things were crazy.
Anything further than next episode is drying it out a little too much. I think next episode they have to tell her because otherwise it's like going to get old. Like, all right, this is obviously causing issues. Like,
and we can't develop Clarice's character without her knowing that and then also then start... really thinking about her life and where she's going to get positive memories to channel her power the right way instead of a fake memory.
Yeah. Or you just have Dreamer fall in love with Clarice and then put those memories into John and then everything's just play Cupid.
Oh, man.
We're gonna go into Carmen and Marcos, a.k.a.
Who Ivan Soto, who has already said is boring with all caps.
Slash Letarman. Hashtag Flash Letarman. But before we get into that, I do want to tell everyone that you can find all of these shows on YouTube on the AfterBuzz, youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV Sci-Fi, S-C-I-F-I. And you can also find everything in podcast form. Let's say you drive an hour to work, or you live in Hollywood and you drive 5 hours to work. You can listen to our show while you're driving to work. So you watch the show Monday, because we do it 6 days later. And I don't want to explain that real quick. We couldn't do the show Mondays or Tuesdays, or anywhere between that and Sunday, unfortunately. Like, literally none of our scheduling worked out for that. For us, you would have an entirely different panel, and we just really love doing the show, and we love the show, so we just unfortunately do it 6 days after the fact. But you get a nice refresher of the episode
right before the new one comes out.
So
right.
That's good.
I understand the criticism of, like, it sucks that you gotta wait 6 days. Like, I totally get it. If in a perfect world, we totally do this Monday night.
Maybe we want to do that.
Maybe weekly, one of us can, like, live tweet the show or something. But unfortunately, right now, until we do that. But if you want to help us get to that point, you're more than welcome to tweet out Gifted Writers and say, hey, give these guys screeners. Because if we get screeners, then on Sunday, we could tape the Monday episode and then release it on Monday and you guys can watch it. It would not be live, but you know what? You'd get the show.
You get the show.
Which is what you want. But what you can do in the meanwhile is you can hit that thumbs up on the YouTube video and wait for the stream to end to comment below so we can reply to your comments. But you can also go to iTunes, leave us 5 stars, and give us a comment because we got to fight back against the one-star underground.
Yes.
The one-star underground is really...
ruthless.
Man, they're...
Led by the mighty Converse.
worse.
And if I wish I knew who it was, because I would send them that gift from, I can't remember the movie, but it's the girl saying, lick it up, baby, lick it up. That's right. One star, lick it up, baby, lick it up.
They have multiplied. There's five of them now, but we got 11 five stars, and I got a shout out to the reviews that we've gotten in the past week. Shout out to Jay Jacoby, who follows me from the Killjoys After Show, says, excellent show. This panel is hilarious. I'm really liking the gifted, and I enjoy hearing your insights. Whether they're positive or negative, I really like your honest reviews. You guys rock. P.S. I really hope Sentinel Services finds that mutant named One Star. He deserves to be in some underground black site.
Shout out.
Makes the show even more enjoyable by Dre Day. The crew does a great job bringing insight, fun, and expert commentary. They don't talk over each other, and the witty banter flows freely. It's like a group of friends getting together and talking about the show after a watch party. It's a great listen. Thank you, Dre.
Thank you.
And then these gifted podcasters killing it by Best Hype Man Ever. Y'all see the play on words. You are gifted podcasters that do a podcast on the gifted. Puns! Cool podcast. Love the show and love your thoughts on it. Thanks for being rad. And last but not least, we have 4 out of 5 stars, but I'm going to give you a shout-out anyway because your criticism is valid. He says, by X and Unwired, always doing the mutant stories are best narrated in a TV series and not a movie. Glad we finally got one. I like that we both share the excitement and appreciation to this show. 4 out of 5 stars. Why you guys missed a star? One request. You guys should do your podcast within 2 days the actual show airs. It's a little weird. We got to wait to listen to a recap feedback for a show that aired 6 days ago. If you're listening, X and Unwired, if you want to redo your review with 5 stars, now that I've explained why we have to do it, I'll give you another shout out next week. But thank you for taking the time to review. Thanks again, guys.
Fair
points. Continue to give us those thumbs up, comment, do all that jazz.
Definitely, Fox, give us those screeners. Give it to us. That's right.
Screeners. Look at that face. How are you going to say no to that?
Don't make me come down there. I know where you are.
Give him the dreamer wink. Give him the dreamer wink. How are you gonna not give those That's screeners?
Like, you're like, Fox, can we have screeners?
Knock, knock. So I do want to, we're gonna get into Marcos and Carmen. I do want to point out something funny because I wrote it down. On IMDb, every time somebody is cast as a member of Sentinel Services, they're classified as SS guards. So, it just...
Really?
Yes. So...
Wow.
A little bit more commentary on the parallels between this and
the Nazi Germany stuff. Wow.
Kind of interesting. Because I didn't realize Sentinel Services, but now, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's... Wow.
Hey-o.
Well, it is kind of becoming... I mean, this is dramatic, but it is becoming extreme where they're sending people away to places that they don't know and then never coming
back.
They're
literally just going to black sites
and
just
disappearing. What happened in Nazi Germany. people just disappear.
And it's just because you're a mutant, like, if you ever use your power. But, you know, without using your power, you don't really know how to control it to then... not use it.
Yeah, but...
what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, though, is you think they're disappearing forever, but, you know, we just got Pulse back this episode.
Yeah, so Pulse did not disappear. They're probably being held in some kind of stasis and brought out when they want to fight mutants and, you know...
I think that's...
bagged up and put back wherever.
That's going to be the demons of Reed's past, is... finding out where all the people that he sent away have ended up and whether or not they're...
Matter of fact,
brainwashed.
Did we get Pulse? Did we save him too, or did we leave him with him?
We left him.
Okay.
We left him on the ground.
Still, there. Sentinel Services is in some real trouble because,
Sorry.
That's a good one. I like that. But Sentinel Services is in trouble because, from a legal point, the Mutant Underground has now really gotten a big win because at first. He was kind of like, I'm on your side. I just want to help my family. Now he's like, screw y'all. Like, I'm on my own. I don't like y'all. I don't want to help y'all.
They have no insider.
And now he's got the animosity to fight back. And he knows all the legal. And I know, we can help them with the law. But he does know loopholes and stuff where he might be able to jump through here, jump through there, get funding for something that the mutants need or something. Having someone who's been a prosecutor that long could really help them.
I think not as much as you think.
Hmm.
I think it wouldn't play to the character right now, because how they've built him up is that the system's failing around him, and every friend he's tried to use.
True.
Is,
yeah.
Especially you see
they
that
they turn their backs on him.
Yeah, and last episode was all about Kate going to get her friend who has connections and seeing how those connections didn't do anything. So I think the specialty of Reed is probably going to be at least some knowledge of how that works and of like maybe facilities.
And their thinking, their next steps maybe. Or like he knowing has more where they're of at. The Sentinel Service brain.
Or or Reed knows who he's put away and knows their powers. So if they were going to recruit people that have been or save people with certain powers, Reed
you know,
could be the
I
one
know this person is here.
That's how he
person.
Redeems himself. Like yeah. Polaris said, don't yeah. say it to me.
Like
say
we need, like we need, we
say
need,
it to that kid that I had to buckle up in the
rip
in the
away
back
from
seat
his
or
family.
Whatever.
We need a recruitment montage. Like get the Rocky theme playing and everything. So let's talk about Marcos and Carmen. It's not really that much. Basically, he needs to know the run coordinates, like where the buses are going to go, and he's like, okay, well, the cartel is going to know. And John apparently knows his history with the cartel. Yeah. He used to date a girl named Carmen, who was the daughter of the cartel boss. She's taken over the gang, and now she's all business. She's no longer the naive little girl she used to be that was in love. She's bomb. She's a boss.
And she said he's retired. I'd go and say a little prediction. She killed her dad to get that role.
No, I think he's retired.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you think he's just kicking it, just chilling out?
Yeah.
You know, I don't. He's on a beach somewhere? I mean, because she is kind of rough and rugged these days.
She is.
I wouldn't put
she
it past
rough.
Her. She might have killed her dad and been like, you know, now I'm the boss. But maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe she's not that mean. I'll take that back, Carmen. You're not that
she
mean.
She is all about family.
I mean, you're mean.
That's
you
the only reason
people.
I wouldn't say she did that, because she did reference him a lot. Like, you let down me and my dad.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And right. It's also, that would have been, like, prime character building to, like, have her be that badass by saying, like, you want to talk to my father? Well, I killed my father. Now I'm the one.
True.
Okay.
So, I think.
All right. I'll take that back. Sorry, Carmen. You still torture people, but you don't kill parents.
So, basically, in exchange for the information, and she uses some pretty harsh words for Polaris, calls her a whore.
Yeah.
Polaris.
I was like,
you said.
Clutch the pearls. This is network television.
Scandalous.
Ooh, scandalous.
Slippington gifting. No, Bray. Stop. Stop. Downton gifted. Not going to bring that into
you
this
know
after
what?
Show. But moving on. She basically has him under her thumb now, because she said, anytime I call you, if I say jump, you say how high.
Yeah.
So that's why I think him in the end was like, I will stay here for Polaris and get arrested, because it doesn't matter at this point. He'd rather be locked away than end up not saving her and then also be under the thumb of the cartel. He'd rather be with her and locked away.
Yes. Now, this is also something that needs to be told very quickly. That probably won't be told very quickly. It's like, hey, remember that cartel girl that I was with? She was like super fine, but she was also crazy. And she tortures people. Yeah, I'm kind of working with her because she helped me get you out of jail.
Not gonna fly. That's why I said Polaris is not gonna let that fly, and she's gonna find out, because women find out everything.
They do. They do, man. They find out. Y'all are some finding people, man. I'll tell you that.
We investigate.
Y'all are some finding people.
Yes.
What?
Women are
Where
the findingest.
Where is that coming from?
Women are the findingest. Trying to look. Men, don't try to hide something, because it's going to come out, man.
Yes.
Like, all detectives should literally be women, because y'all be finding stuff. Y'all.
We look at the clues that.
If the criminal is on the internet, if on social media at all, y'all got them on.
Who
y'all
found
got them
Bin Laden? A group of women.
Michael's just with a shovel, like, digging himself a hole.
He's like, I'll be back, guys.
I know this from experience.
He's gonna dig up this hole of classifying hundreds of people and generalizing about
back.
Women. Probably not the best thing
back.
To do in this day and age. But okay, so let's move on.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm just giving
I'll
him
be
crap.
Back, guys.
Reed and Polaris. Probably the best part of this episode is the combination of Reed and Polaris being in the jail cell together.
Can we give Steven some credit for calling the screws? or the
yeah.
Welcome back to my segment, calling the screws.
calling the screws.
You know what really calls my screws?
But when you said that, I was like, okay, that's like, not gonna happen.
It's like, nah, that might be too gross. I don't think they'll do that.
Ripping the screws out of his leg.
Yeah, because I thought it would be very too elegant. Gross, but they handled it in a way where it wasn't gruesome.
Dude, Reed's a badass.
Yeah.
He's like, take my screws.
I have metal in my leg. Rip it out. Yeah. Use it.
I can take it.
He like knocks out the guard, but then the guard like.
That was a nice little fight scene too.
Yeah, they tried it.
I was like, okay,
they
Reed.
Didn't succeed, but they tried it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she uses the screws. Total X-Men Magneto escape from jail scene where he pulls the iron out of the guard. That was kind of the same kind of scene, but a little bit less violent. Was that X1 or X2? Where the guard, I think that was X2 or Mystique.
No, that loads might be iron into that the guard. Might be X3. I hope not. But I feel like that's X3.
Anyway,
I really feel like that's X3. Oh my God.
There's a scene in the X-Men movies where Mystique injects a guard with a bunch of iron.
Yeah.
Like into his bloodstream. Oh. So when the guard
they said it's X2, so.
Oh, guard goes into the jail cell, she pulls the iron, he pulls the iron from his blood to create like marbles to blow up the jail cell. It's like one
it's
of the most
cool.
badass scenes from the entire franchise. And very this cool. was kind of reminiscent of that, but I think it's going to be really cool. She really shows off her powers this episode. Yes. And it's kind of like, I really liked that she didn't forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that's one of the big things where people are just like, oh, you're in my position
now.
We're friends now. It's cool. She's like, you didn't have to strap down a kid to a car while the person that you put in jail was his mother is being taken away and all sorts of stuff. And props to the actress for Polaris, because that was a really powerful moment.
Yeah, Polaris like continues to show she is
one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah, and she's the face of the underground group because she's the most ride or die about her abilities. She's not sorry or apologetic about having them. She loves them, and she's all about like that's her family. So she's not going to waver from it, and she's not going to forgive you because she knows exactly what's been going on.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to find common ground together, but I don't think she'll never fully open up to him. She's not going to be hugging him every time she sees him. She'll probably just be like...
And she's in Mama Bear mode now.
Yeah.
She's like, you're going to use my unborn child.
Yeah, so it's...
You know, that was the one thing that I was like, Reed, what are you doing? Because she throws that out there. She's like, you were the one who tried to use my unborn child to get me to sell out my friends. And then in the bus, he's like... Oh, for the sake of your unborn child. I'm like, why are you bringing that up again?
Yeah.
Because, man, it's the unborn child always works on TV, man. Always works. It's like, for the sake of your unborn child. She's like, all right, let's do it. It always works, man. It always works. Always works.
What would you do for your unborn child?
Oh, my gosh. That was extremely well put.
Yeah, very well put. I like that.
Oh, let's get some Klondike bars in here. They'd probably melt pretty quick because this show is hot.
Oh, speaking of that real quick, another great thing about this show is that whenever they break off into their groups, you know, like the kids are together or John or whoever, it's never bad.
Yeah.
It's never a part where it's like, oh, I don't care about these two people.
Yeah.
I don't care about these three people. Let's get back to such and such. Everybody is solid. So you're like, wow. Okay, cool. I like all of this.
I'm excited for Polaris interacting with Andy and Lauren.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really cool relationship because if you're going to look at the kids, they're two sides of a coin. Like, he's really angsty teenager and, like, probably going to the dark. She's more uplifting.
She's kind of like,
But then Polaris is bipolar, and she has her moments where she's super angry, and she has her moments where she's super hopeful. So it's going to be really cool to see, like, which side of her interacts with the kids better and kind of how she influences them with their powers.
Yeah, she's the leader, for sure. And I think that's so true. She's perfect mentor for them two together. Yeah. So I'm so happy she's back. I didn't want to wait anymore with her locked up. I needed her out.
Yeah. Like it's finally good to have them in a position where we can move forward towards new characters and new story developments.
And I like the bullet stuff. I like the gun stuff. She definitely made her presence known when she got free.
She's extremely powerful.
Well, and she's not happy.
There's just only so many episodes you can have characters locked up for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the same prison break. Like,
unless there's something interesting in prison going on.
Yeah. So we have 7 minutes left, so I want to rush through this. Let's talk about Andy and Lauren really quick. Mm-hmm. The mom is not excited about the prospects of them being involved in this at all, but they work on their powers and... let's be honest, the special effects when the light shattered was terrible, just really bad. Everything else looks cool. That was just really bad. But the concept was cool, and them combining their powers was cool. So I'm assuming that his power basically is a general area, and she used her barriers to kind of consolidate it to one area.
Yeah, because he did what I did like about this episode, where he did say, I was just trying to hit one of the parking meters. Yeah. It's not contained. I was like, thank you, because I was really confused why you're just blowing up the street like that in the prior episode.
Just imagine the one guy going to work that day, seeing them, like... God damn it.
Man, who did one this? Week from retirement. Now I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God. Stop bringing it back.
All right. Go ahead.
I want to see the opposite end of them using their powers that way, though. Because right now it's her containing his powers. I want to see him amplifying her powers.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
So, like, okay. I want to see her powers used for destruction.
Oh, to, like, maybe, like, push something out or explode something, I guess?
Yeah, like, I want to see if... Because, like, if she can consolidate his to destroy it, can he trap his powers within her barriers and set it off like a grenade or something?
Yeah. Wow.
Like, can we figure out a way that is the opposite of consolidation but more compression to make a larger explosion?
That could be cool.
So, like, I just want to see... I want to see that.
I think their combination of powers is going to be a big plot point in this series, because they do bring in that creepy doctor, I forget his name, but trying to get with Kobe.
Trying to get the kids.
And he was like, no. But you can see that there is, and with the newspaper and all that, there's something special about them two being together.
Mm-hmm. So we have the kids working together. The mom's not too sold on it, but finally she's sold on it when they say, we'll get out of there right away.
Yeah.
I'm consistently impressed with... the acting done by Amy Acker as Kate.
She's amazing.
And this episode, I really like the subtle things that they've been dealing with. Like, there's a scene in the beginning where they're explaining, like, the fact that there's an 84% chance that they'll never see the dad again or whatever. And the daughter's, like, crying, like, has, like, a tear in the background, but they don't focus on it. It's just in the background.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, like...
Yeah,
it's good setting.
Because
usually it's like, oh, let's zoom in on her having this tear. Yeah. Let's do... It's like, no, everyone's reacting in certain ways. And I like the fact that they bring a humanity aspect to it when it's like, who wants to go attack this base? Because we got a flashback from 2 years in the beginning when Pulse gets shot and they lose 6 people. It's like, what? Like, everyone's not just like gung-ho about, hey, we're the new X-Men. Now, we're going to save everybody.
Yeah, and now we don't even know if they lost those people because of what we see with Pulse.
Yeah.
They might not be lost. Real quick.
But not everyone's just jumping out to throw their lives away for strangers. And I think that's like, more realistic
than
they're like,
we're not the X-Men. We're not
true.
We're just trying to live.
Yeah.
Nicholas Kelly did say, and we touched on this a little bit, but he said, was it just me or did Pulse try to turn off his powers but couldn't due to the fact that he was chipped or experimented or whatever? And yeah, I do think that he tried to, like, when he got hit, when he had that look where he was just like, where am I? But then his powers, like, turned back on automatically. I don't know if he tried to turn his powers off, but I do think, unfortunately, he instead of knocking him out, he knocked him in. And like for a second, Pulse was just like, had this like, where am I kind of look. And then his powers turned right back on. So
I feel like they've brainwashed him to use his powers.
Or have
like some kind of microchipping or something.
I like the fact that they're doing it more as, because there is I forgot the name of the character, they brought it into X3, but it's actually in the comics too. Is the mutant that negates all powers, but just an aura, like not doing anything negates all powers. Like I like the fact that it's like a conscious use of powers to negate things.
Yeah,
and I thought it was really cool that he like John started bleeding from his nose, like he was shutting down his circulatory system, like he shuts down systems, like that was really cool.
Yeah.
The whole heist in this episode was pretty legit.
Yes.
Having the bus go past and then her basically having to get him angry to be able to use it on the moving bus, call him a punk ass bitch and all that kind of stuff.
Which was cool.
And the mom using the syringe. Bad, but
and the mom having the idea to do it. Like, she made herself useful. Even though I feel like they might have been able to think of that on their own. I'm glad that that was her role because she doesn't really have a role, a power yet.
Also, even though she doesn't have a power, she went and got the car. She wasn't useless. There's a lot of shows where someone's just like...
she turned in fight or flight mode. She was fighting.
There's a lot of shows where that character that doesn't have powers is just like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. She was cool, got the car. And that's what we need.
They're really
highlighting
that. So mm-hmm. They're really highlighting that, the fact that the humans aren't powerless. Because, you have Reed, you have... and you have Amy. You probably have a few other... Kate. And you're probably going to get, even Kobe Bell is just a human, but he's controlling all of this kind of stuff. Like, nobody's useless.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying when, something's happening. People are just standing off to the side. What do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? It's like...
I didn't want to watch her.
It feels so good
that.
To be on a show where that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you have hands, go jump
and your children
around.
Are involved. Yeah, I love that.
And it was cool that they stole their own car. So, the Sentinel Services, even though that car might be tracked since it's a government car.
I was thinking that too.
They might want to dump it quick, but she still, for the moment, she did very well.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, everything in this episode was pretty cool. They expanded the world. They introduced us to Pulse, which was really awesome. And they opened up the door of mutants being brainwashed into... working for Sentinel Services.
A new threat with the cartel. And we know that there's other people outside of the government using mutants to kind of do their bidding. Because I'm pretty sure when Eclipse, when he left, I'm sure there's other mutants that they use to be enforcers or interrogate.
Well, and we have Eclipse / Flashlight working for the cartel, but doesn't want to tell anyone about it, so that's going to create some drama. We're out of the time for the day, though, guys, so where can we find you all on Twitter?
Well, you can find me online on YouTube at NerdSoul, one word, NERDSOUL, and online at One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
And you can find me on Twitter and IG at Steph Sabra.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHNLEMIUX. Go ahead and please hit that thumbs up. Give us a rating on iTunes with a 5 stars and a comment. And then comment below after this broadcast ends. Again, tell your friends. Share it on Twitter, please. Yep. Let people know. Because a lot of people don't know we actually cover this show because we do it so later, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But put your predictions down below. We'll do some predictions down in the comments, too. And we will see you next week. Same mutant time, same mutant place. 5 p.m. Pacific on Sundays. Check you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I want them all. I want the safe houses. House. Crack houses. I want the dens. Even the caves. Let's get the mutant caves. Let's do it.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.